13, starting in verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you that the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you display who you are in your word. You give us direction on how to live our lives and what the church looks like, Lord. Lord, we thank you that your word is precious and it is life. So I pray today, God, that you would anoint me with your spirit to be able to preach your word with clarity. God, help order my thoughts. And I pray that I would be moved by your spirit, Lord, that this would not be coming forth from men, but rather, Lord, by your spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. Morning, everyone. Well, today we're finishing off Hebrews. I'm kind of rushing through it because I wanted to start Romans next week when we kicked off the year. And with me being down 1 week, that kind of hindered things, so I'm kind of jamming some stuff in today. So I apologize in advance for that one. But, you know, as we're looking at the end of this book, we see that there's something in here that we as Americans really don't like to do. We Americans really don't like obeying someone else, do we? That just rubs us wrong. I mean, we think it's just the kids, right? You know, you pretty much know as they're teenagers, whatever you tell them to do, they're going to do the opposite, right? And we think, well, we grow out of that. And then we become adults, and we kind of have that same individual spirit, especially as Americans, where, you know what, I want to do what I want to do. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me to obey this or do that. And so it's very natural for us and our flesh to come against sections of Scripture like we just read. And part of the reason why we have a resistance to that is that in the past there has been authority and power that has been abused. We've seen people misuse it for their own sake. And so what happens is, because there are legitimate times where people have misused their authority, we have misgivings about obeying and submitting to them. Say, but whoa, time out. What about this? What about that? I can see that. I understand that. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we may be experiencing now is, to the extent that government leaders are corrupt or negligent, citizens will suffer. That's just part of it. That's what the Word of God says. Doesn't make it comfortable, but what happens is this. Is God sovereign? Is God in control? Yes. He's working some things in us as people. Sometimes they're not so comfortable. As one person said, I'd probably do it a different way. Well, you're not God, and God is all wise, so we'll trust him. What we're going to see today is that God, in his incredible wisdom, has set up authority structures. And when it comes to the church, God has provided leaders under his authority in order to protect and benefit his people. That's the message today. When we look at those leaders that God puts in place, the New Testament uses different names and different titles for those leaders. For example, elders, bishop, overseers, pastors. Pastors means shepherd. Take a look at God's word again. What we read today, obey your leaders and submit to them. Boy, that just kind of goes against us naturally, doesn't it? We kind of want to lead the way. Titus 1, verses 5 and 7, appoint elders in every town as I directed you. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. So elders, overseers, same thing. Using them interchangeably. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And then 2 Corinthians 1:24a. Now, not that we lord it over your faith. So God has provided leaders for the church, and different churches use different labels for that. We call them elders here. I know at Bethany Evangelical Free Church, they call them overseers. So they have different names for that. But it's a group of men that God has called to serve him in the church. And they have purposes. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we see here is that it shouldn't be just one. I think part of the imbalance of some churches is you have one person that is kind of doing everything, in charge of everything. And you see, it's plural here. Obey your leaders and submit to them. So there needs to be a plurality of elders, more than just one. There needs to be a group of elders that God would call in order to lead his body of Christ. He calls them to be leaders and overseers. Now, plurality is a safeguard. More than one is a safeguard. And this is why. Because of abuse. It's too easy for one person, if they're running the whole show, to abuse that power, abuse that authority. And it happens over and over again. A lot of times you see certain churches falling because that leader was in charge of everything, and then nobody would approach them. Nobody would talk to them about areas in their lives that needed to maybe change, and other people didn't have input, or their input was basically what that single person was telling them they needed to do. I was a part of one of those churches one time. I remember that. They said, well, we're congregation-led. And I'm thinking, no, we're not. You're leading everything. You're doing everything. And we do what you want, and it doesn't matter what everybody else, as far as the leaders, think. So we see that plurality is there for our safeguard. And to be real honest, the job of being an elder, a pastor of a church, that is way more than one guy can handle. I'm so glad that we're a small church, because I'm giving an account. All the elders are going to give an account of this church. Wow. I can't imagine a church of 400, 800 and having to give an account, because that's what God's word says here. And part of it is that he's talking about we do not lord it over them, because it's so easy to shift in to this idea of, well, we're going to tell them this is how things are going to go, and we're going to use our power for what we want to use it for. It's so easy to drift into that, to use that power, that authority that God has given. See, that's the thing. God exalts the leadership in churches. God's the one who puts them there. And so what happens is that it's so easy for someone to take that power and not have a servant's heart for the people and really be in it for their own gain. They want the acclamation, they want the whatever it might be, and they want that instead of the glory of Jesus and the good of the people. It's very easy to slip into this, very easy. Some of you that are guests today, I'm sorry, we're going into a little bit of our church structure, because it was very natural to do that in this section of Scripture, so you'll know a little bit more about us than most people do. La Crescent Free has a plurality in our elders. We have 5 elders. There are the vocational elders. In other words, God called us to be paid to do what we do. That's Ryan and myself. And then we have 3 lay elders. That's Eric, John, and Steve. So we have a plurality of elders. And we are an elder-led church. We gather together partly because of my lack of giftings in certain areas, but we're an elder-led church. In other words, the elders seek the Lord together, and we want to hear what's on the Lord's heart and then lead this church in that manner. So we are a plurality of elders, and we are elder-led, and we are men under authority, and we understand that. We are men under authority, not just men with authority. And we're under the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a serious thing. We're under authority, and in a sense, we're also under the authority of this congregation, because you vote us in or you call us. And there's ways to, if we just go off the rails, there's a way for you to to call this thing together and say, hey, we need to talk about this. So we are men under authority. We are under shepherds, accountable to Christ, because he's the chief shepherd. Because this church, this little tiny church, is his church. He died for it. He's the one who went to the cross. And it's his church. He bought it with his blood. He bought you with his blood. And you are precious to him as the chief shepherd. And you are precious to the elders in this church. I want you to know that. The under shepherds are accountable to Jesus. And I want you to know that this congregation approves the lay and the vocational elders. And when we get to our elder meetings or we have to make a decision, I want you to know this. Every one of us has one vote. That includes me. That includes Ryan. We have one vote because we're elder-led. So we get together. We seek God's face for his church here, what he wants to do in this church. And then by God's grace, we move forward. So that's a little picture of La Crescent Free, how we operate. Now, the Word of God is very specific about the qualifications for an elder. It lays out high standards. And here's part of the reason. Because failures in leadership affect so many more people than someone who's just attending a church. I said earlier we've seen fall of certain people around the United States in the church. How do we know about that? There's people that have fallen in all their churches, right? We don't know nothing about them. But we know because God has lifted up people. He said, I'm putting you as a leader of this church. And when leaders fall, so many more people see it. What does that do to the testimony of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It affects it. What does it do in the personal lives of people? How many people have said, well, you know, I thought God was in control of everything. This person fell, and, you know, I'm not so sure I'm going to walk with Jesus, or I'm not, you know, we start making up excuses for sin in our lives because a leader fell. And that's why God has these high standards for leaders. He says, you know what, I understand the weight that I'm putting on you. And so what we're going to do is from the get-go, we're going to have these high standards so that you would step into this role understanding that this is a ministry that is very weighty and that I have called you to and I will empower you to do. You can't do it on your own. You need me. He has a lot of high standards. I just took one section and I wanted to read this to you just to get an idea of what the standards are for somebody who is a spiritual leader in a church. 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 7. An overseer, elder, bishop, pastor, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders. Isn't that interesting? So that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. And then 1 Timothy also has these things repeated, but I just wanted to go into the teaching a little bit more because it just simply says in Timothy, able to teach. Look at in Titus. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Kind of develops that a little bit more. Have you noticed something about these qualifications? Almost all of them are about character, about their relationship to their family, about their testimony to a world that's not part of the church yet. Their characteristics of who they need to be as people. In this section, there's only one competency qualification. just one, they're able to teach. You see, God sees how important character is in each of us. Character is important. To be people of our word, to desire to be like Jesus. It's about this beautiful picture of what God is working in each of us, making us into the image of Christ. And then he calls some and he says, I've done a work in you and I want to bring you to that place of leadership. And the one competency is that they would be able to teach. As we continue on, elders are stewards and managers of Jesus' church, and they're responsible primarily for spiritual leadership. That's the primary way that they lead, they guide, through spiritual leadership. And we lead primarily through, number one, example, and number two, teaching. Take a look at God's word again. This is what the apostle said in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They were doing a lot of other things. And what they said is, you know, we're getting caught up in these other things. It's not that they're not important, but we need to focus on the main things. Keep the main things the main things. And the main things are prayer and the ministry of the word. And we want to get back to that. And then in chapter 20, verse 17, pay careful attention to yourselves and to the to all the flock. Make sure your example is worth following. Be careful. Be careful for yourself. Look out for the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So this isn't, I don't want to discourage anybody here, but this isn't a choice of the congregation. This is God's choice, and we just affirm what God has said. So an elder is placed there by God's design. He has made us overseers to care for the church of God. You see, that's the number one thing, is to care for you. In 1 Peter 5:3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. See, it keeps coming back over and over. Be an example to the flock. Be an example to the flock. Be someone that they can follow. If you read earlier in this chapter 13, remember how he said he had just come out and talked about those who had died before them? And that they were people worth emulating, worth imitating. Remember the gospel that they preached? Remember their lives? So that was earlier in this chapter, those who had already passed, and now he's coming back and he's saying, the leaders that you have now, don't just think about the past ones and how great they were. You know, Pastor so-and-so was phenomenal. He's not here. And so what happens is he says, look at those who are here. They're your leaders that I have called to that place of authority. So the elders, the leaders of a church need to be God-centered models in order so that you would imitate them and God-centered teaching that you could follow. Biblical teaching focused on God's word and the glory of Jesus, surrounded with the gospel. So what we see is that elders must persistently say with our lives and our mouths this. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Isn't that the theme we've seen throughout Hebrews? Constantly saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember, look back to remember where God has taken you from and look ahead. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And so when we look at this picture, we see that as leaders, as elders, we must be constantly pointing you towards Jesus with our lives, with our words, proclaiming the greatness of our God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were absolutely lost, separated from God, no hope. And we are sinners deep down. And that's our nature. That's what the Word of God says. That we don't like to hear that stuff, but that's our nature. And God, in His goodness and His kindness, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect sinless life that was required to spend eternity in heaven that we can't do because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Christ did what we couldn't do, and then he took the punishment we deserved. He went to the cross and died for the sins of all who would believe in him. And 3 days later, he rose. There's the core. And everything is built around the glory of God. around the gospel, who God is, who we are, what Christ has done for us. And it needs to be coming regularly from the mouths of the leaders of your church. The elders are responsible to lead the church through prayer and ministry of the word. And they're also responsible to care for the flock. You. That's a huge responsibility. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that there's a picture of a shepherd. The shepherd is to look out for the well-being of the sheep. That's why the word pastor is the same word as shepherd. What did the shepherd do? He did everything for those sheep. He had to know the condition of the flock. He had to know which ones were hurting and which ones weren't. He had to know where the good food was and the good water was at. He had to bind up those who were hurt and wounded. If somebody strayed, the shepherd had to go find that sheep. He cared for the flock. He watched over the flock. That's the heart of a shepherd. The sheep. To care for them, to love them. And he watches over. And that's another parallel that we see here. Take a look in a section of scripture we read today. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. They're watchmen. Your elders here, and the elders of every church or overseers, whatever you call them, are to be watchmen. Watching what? Watching out for the dangerous enemy coming in. That's what a watchman did. He stood on the walls, especially at night, while everybody else slept. And the watchman had to keep alert to see if the enemy was coming in any way. Enemy coming with false doctrine. Things that aren't consistent in Scripture. Watching how the enemy may be moving within the body or outside of the body or what's going on. The elders are called to be watchmen. Why? To protect the flock. Because we love you. That's why. We're called to be watchmen. Now, watching over the flock, you think, well, good, I don't have anything to do with that. Wrong. Wrong. You think five guys can know everything about everyone in this church? I don't think so. I know so. So guess what? Being a watchman is more than just the elders. It's all of us. All of us loving and caring for each other. Take a look again at God's word. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. You see, the elders can't know all the needs in this body. We can't. So we need your help. We need your help. When you're hurting or something's going on, you need to let us know. I'll be honest, I got to be straight up. It's a little frustrating for me when somebody goes into the hospital and I find out 2 weeks later. What happened to you? Oh, I had surgery 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Oh, what? What? I love you. Can you tell me, please? Let us know. Okay? So if you're hurting, we can't read your minds, let us know. I think one of the keys for us as a body of Christ being watchmen over each other is small groups. I love that. We're pushing small groups this week, saying, hey, if you're not in one, get in one. Why? In part because this fulfills the word of God, that we can know each other and we can support each other and lift each other up. I'll tell you what, you know how the elder meetings start? Usually it starts like this. Does anybody have any news about the body? And then we go, well, this is what happened to this person. This is what's going on in this person's life. And this and this and this. And we gather that so that all the elders know, because one elder might know and another elder might know. So we gather it all together. And then what we do is this. We pray. We pray. Because we have to. The things that are there, we can't solve. But we have a great God. So we go to him. So know that you're lifted up specifically and generally by the elders of this church. The first meeting is more business. We deal with it in the front end. The second meeting is focused a lot more on prayer. But we know that that's key to shepherding this flock. We need your help. We need your help to do that. So what is your response to all this? Obviously to help us out, but what is your response to this godly leadership? Something, like I said, Americans don't like to hear. To obey and submit to the leadership. Take a look at God's word. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So, somehow obeying and submitting to the leadership of a church is beneficial to you. Because this is what it says here. And it goes on at 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. We love to hear that. That's our joy. That's our joy right there. And then Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I am again in the angst of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. That's also true. That's also true. Obey implies this. Go with the direction. You know what? That doesn't mean you don't have to question things. We're okay with that as elders. You know, we're doing the best we can to hear what the Lord wants to do. And sometimes God speaks through his people to the elders. We're good with that. And that's why it doesn't mean just blindly following, but if there is something that you have questions about, bring them to the elders. Bring them to the elders. But if it is not against Scripture, maybe it's direction, I'm not sure I agree with that, then that's where you just say, you know what, I trust. I'm going to put my hope there. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust you because you're the one who put them in that position of authority. Submit involves attitude. It's that supportive, yes, I can do this, Lord. I'm going to support them in prayer. You know what? Spiritual children are like natural children, aren't they? I can tell you right now, they are. Okay? Because natural children bring you a whole bunch of joy, and sometimes they bring you a lot of hurt, don't they? It's the same thing with spiritual children. And it's we as the leaders that God has called to this church feel that joy and that excitement when we hear of people walking with Jesus. And our hearts are broken when we hear of struggles. And we want to run in there and heal them up, you know? That's our heart. And we understand that in our own flesh, we can't do that. I want to encourage you in one area here. I've been a pastor a long time. Almost every time somebody wants to talk to me or send an email, it's what I call bad news. You know, I've said it before. Sometimes pastoring, I feel like this. You've got 25 plates on sticks that are spinning. And you look for the one that's wobbling. And you run over there and try to keep that spinning. What do you do next? You look for the next one that's wobbling. And you run over there. So I want you to know from my heart that sometimes it's just good to hear, hey, we love you. You're doing a good job. Not just for me, but the elders. It's so easy to forget that we can be discouraged just like anyone else. And sometimes we need to hear that from our people saying, you know what, hey, I want to say something to you guys. And you know, you kind of, oh, here we go. You know, it's hey, I just love you guys. Thank you. Wow. We need to hear both. We need to hear both. And the reason is because we love you. We dearly love you, and we consider it a privilege, an honor to serve you.
but it can be very weighty. There are things that the elders know in a church that the members have no idea. It can be really heavy at times. So you know what you can do? You can do the same thing that the writer of Hebrews is telling the hearers of his epistle. What you can do is this. Pray for us. Pray for us. Take a look at God's word. I love this. This is so beautiful how this kind of ties up. Look at this. He comes out of telling them to obey, and then he says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience. What's that all about? Remember, he was speaking to Jewish Christians, and he was telling them that the old covenant that they had, the old traditions, the high priest, the sacrifices, etc., were Christ fulfilled them all. You don't do those anymore. And that's what he was talking about, a clear conscience, that we're preaching that word pure and true, that this is consistent with God's word, that pray for us that we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. He's saying, pray for us. Pray for us. And then what does he do? We're not sure who the writer is. But he tells them to pray, and then what does he do? He models it. He prays for them. And I look at that and I think, you know, this is a prayer for them, but I wonder if he was also saying, this is how you could pray for us as well. Look at this. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, he's coming back to it, the great shepherd of the sheep, the heart of our Savior, by the blood of the eternal covenant, the promises of God, through Christ, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I love the way that this book closed. Kind of took all the main themes and brought them together, and he's praying for his people and saying, hey, pray for us, please. Please pray for us. And here's a way that you can. That word pray there is what we call a present imperative, which means it's a continual action of lifting up in prayer. Pray for us regularly, please. Pray for us regularly. Pray for the preaching on Sunday morning. You know, as your heart is as you're coming to church, say, Lord, I pray that you'd fill up whoever's preaching today with your Spirit. God, I ask that you would direct them, that they would be obedient to your Holy Spirit. God, I ask that you would cause your word to go out and that it would bear fruit, God, for your glory. And God, I ask that you prepare my heart to receive your word. Pray for us. Pray that we would be God-centered models. That's what it's talking about here. We're examples to the flock. So pray for us that we would be God-centered models, that we would maintain a good conscience, that we would preach the word of God as it is written, not get caught up in some of the stuff that's going on nationally where it's almost like you're going into a counseling session instead of hearing the word of God being preached. Pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us, that we would have God's wisdom, not man's. Pray against discouragement for us. Because, as I said, if the enemy can take down the leaders, there's a domino effect. So many other people are affected. So many other people are affected. Pray for us that we would lead by faith and not by sight. That's a tough one. Pray that we would have ears to hear the Holy Spirit as he would speak to us and give us direction. And pray that we're alert watchmen. That we would see what was happening and that God would give us that vision and that we would see where the enemy might be coming and then we would know what we should do. Those are ways you can pray for us. We need you. We love you and we need you.
God gives the La Crescent Free Elders, he gave them to us. And he gave them to us for a purpose. We are under his authority. And he gave this church the elders in order to protect and benefit the people, to shepherd the flock, to love the flock. And you're our flock. And I can tell you from every elder, we do love you. And we as elders will give an account for how faithfully we watched over you. That's why sometimes it's hard. We got a hard thing we got to talk to you about. We got to say, hey, I really need to talk to you about this. I heard this is going on in your life, and I'm concerned. And our natural response is this: keep to your own business, man. This is mine, right? Hey, leave me alone. You're putting your nose where it doesn't belong. Listen, God's holding us accountable. I want to know. And I want to love you enough to maybe come and say the hard things that are there. To say, hey, you know what? I'm concerned. Are you okay? We're not doing it to be nosy. But because we love you and we know that God is going to call us. How faithfully did we watch over the flock? So pray for us. Somebody asked Charles Spurgeon one time, he said, when you look at the success in your ministry and the power in your preaching, what do you think is the reason for that? And this is what Spurgeon's response was. Oh, it's real easy. My people pray for me. My people pray for me. That was his key. My people pray for me. This responsibility of leading God's church as elders or overseers or whatever term a church might use is absolutely impossible in the strength of man. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have all the things that we need maybe to understand what's coming and how we should move forward. But the good news is this: with God's strength, the impossible becomes possible. And you know why? Because when you look at us five elders, it's amazing that God can use us for what he does. You see, he gets the glory because we know each other's faults. We know our weaknesses. Well, some of them, probably not all of them. And we know that when God does something, it's a work of God. We know that because we see ourselves and we say, oh, you know what? This is God's. God's got to do this work. And you know what he does over and over again. So I want you to know today, if you're a guest, we did a little bit of sharing the hearts of the leaders in this church, what I look at as our role is, and the structure of La Crescent Free. But I hope you were able to glean something as well from this. You know, God loves people. And what he did, because he loves us here, is he has sent elders. And those elders need your prayer. Because we want to hear God, and we love you, and we want to care for the sheep. So please pray for us. That's your action point in today's message, okay? Pray for your elders. Let me close in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the blessing, for the privilege of serving this body. Lord, and you see every sheep, they're yours. God, would you grant us the wisdom to know how to shepherd this flock? God, I pray for each person here that they would understand the depth of your love for them. God, that they would see that they are your sheep and you will provide for them in every way. One of those ways is through the leadership of the church. God, I pray that each of us would delight in who you are, how much you care for us, how much you love us. And I pray, God, that as we do, worship would break forth for you, Lord, and all that you are doing and will do in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' glorious and beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen. Next week, Romans.
Let's stand as we continue in worship. And just actually one quick announcement, because I need my wife reminding me of this.